Would you all now stand together for the reading of God's Word? Let us all stand together for the reading of the Word of the Lord. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Exodus chapter 12, verse 1 through 28. And then my text this morning will be Luke chapter 22, starting from verse 14 to 23. But first, Exodus chapter 12, verse 1 through 28. This is the word of the true and the living God. The Lord said to Moses, and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons. According to what each can eat, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without a blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at the twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning, you shall burn. In this manner, you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord. Throughout your generations, as a statute forever, you shall keep it as a feast. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven out of your houses. For if anyone eats what it is leavened from the first day until the seventh day, the person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day you shall hold a holy assembly. On the seventh day, a holy assembly. No work shall be done on those days, but what everyone needs to eat, that alone may be prepared by you. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For on this very day I brought your hosts out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a statute forever. In the first month from the 14th day of the month at the evening, You shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st of the day, the month at evening. For 7 days, no leaven is to be found in your houses. If anyone eats what is leavened, that person will be cut off from the congregation of Israel. Whether he is a sojourner or a native of the land, you shall eat nothing leavened. In all your dwelling places, you shall eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, go and select lambs for yourselves according to your clans and kill Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning, for the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you. You shall observe this rite as a statute for you and for your sons forever. And when you come to the land that the Lord will give you, as he promised, you shall keep this service. And when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? You shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover. For he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians, but spared our houses. And the people bowed their heads and worshipped. Then the people of Israel went and did so as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. Now turn to the New Testament, Luke chapter 22, starting from verse 14 to 23. This is the time that our Lord Jesus Christ instituted the Lord's Supper for the church of Jesus Christ. And when the hour came, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is this with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to question one another which of them it could be who was going to do this. The Lord bless the reading of his word in our hearts by the power of his Holy Spirit. Church, what are the most of the hard and stunning sayings of our Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament that you would remember this morning? I mean, at the time that our Lord Jesus Christ spoke those words to the people put their hands on their heads and remained shocked and confused. And many people stumbled by the words or the statements that Jesus Christ make to them. Statements like, do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. What would you make out of that verse? What about follow me and leave the dead to bury their own dead? What about the statement that Jesus makes in the New Testament? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. I remember two pastors visiting a member of their church who stayed away from the public worship of the church for a long period of time. And the two elders went to him to visit him and encourage him to come back to the Church of Jesus Christ for worship. And being a rich man, his response to the pastors was, you know, this verse in the Bible irritates me. And you people preach this verse to us. So I don't think I will inherit the kingdom of God because I am rich. You know, when I heard that story, I always wish that that man would understand what this verse to him. This morning, the hard sayings of our Lord Jesus Christ are not my topic. The reason why I brought up these hard sayings of our Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament is this, because I would like to use one of the hard sayings of Jesus Christ in the New Testament as an introduction to my message this morning. And this remarkable and stunning statement that Jesus makes in the New Testament is this very statement: no one takes my life from me. I lay it down by myself. Think about that and what it means for you as the child of God. As human beings, we might think it was the Jewish people who killed Jesus Christ. It was the Romans who took him to the cross and killed him on that cruel cross. But our Lord Jesus Christ tells us, no, I laid down by myself. I died on the cross in accordance to the plan and the will of my Father in heaven. Jesus over and over again said in the New Testament that I have come to do the will of my Father. You see, everything that the enemies of Jesus Christ did in order to bring him to the cross and kill him on the cross was the plan of God before the foundation of the world. From our text this morning, you see, as God's people, as God's children, this is what we see. God, the Father, sent his own begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to become a Passover lamb, a new and the final Passover lamb for the people of God. And depending on the grace of God this morning, I would like to show you this biblical truth that Christ is indeed our true, new, and final Passover lamb in two ways. First, we will look into the Passover feast in the Old Testament, especially from Exodus chapter 12. And then we'll look into the institution of the Lord's Supper that our Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church, ordained for us as the church of his Son, Jesus Christ. So consider with me first the Passover feast in the Old Testament. That Passover feast in Exodus chapter 12 shows us something about the Old Covenant. But it also shows us that the people of Israel lived under the bondage in Egypt over 400 years. And they were oppressed, they were afflicted, and they cried to the Lord for deliverance. And God inclined his ears towards his people and came down to Egypt to rescue, to deliver his people. But the way that God delivered his people from Egypt was by commanding them to sacrifice a lamb. And the command was very explicit and very clear to the people of Israel, that they will take a lamb and slaughter and kill it as a sacrifice and put the blood of the lamb on the doorposts of their houses. Then when the angel of death comes to Egypt to execute every firstborn in Egypt, that angel of death will pass the houses of those Israelites who puts the blood on the doorposts of their houses. Now we need to understand two simple but basic principles here. One is, for anyone to be delivered from judgment, from God's wrath, death was required. And the second principle is, and that death can be a death of a substitute. God was telling the people of Israel, I will deliver you from the hand of Pharaoh. I will deliver you from your bondage in Egypt by sending a substitute. Through a substitute, someone who will take your place and bear my wrath, my verdict on you as sinful children of God, on himself, that this lamb will take your place and I will pass over you because of that substitute. God was saying to them, I will do this. I will spare your life from my wrath, from my condemnation through a substitute. And that substitute should be an innocent substitute. You see, the message of the Passover for all of us, not only for the people of Israel, but for all of us, is God delivers his people from the bondage of sin through the death of a substitute lamb. You cannot spare your life from the wrath and the judgment of God by your own righteousness, by your own goodness before the holy God. It was clear, it was a very clear indication to the whole Israel and to all of us this morning that God indeed delivers and he saves his people from death through a substitute, through an animal. They were commanded to take a lamb and kill the animal as a sacrifice for sin. And this was not the final sacrifice, my friends. The people of Israel continued to offer a sacrifice to God over and over again, over and over again, to the point that they were waiting for someone to come and deliver them from all that endeavor. Kill an animal before the Lord over and over again, and God holding them accountable for their sin. They were waiting for a solution, a remedy to come from God, that someone will rescue them, that someone will spare them from this. And the reason is this, the writer of the Hebrews tells us, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. That was the reason why they were desperate. That was the reason why they were just waiting for God's help, for God to intervene and provide a solution for them, to provide a way out for them. Because the sacrifice of an animal cannot take away the sins of God's people. So the people had to wait for the one, only one, lamb who would become the perfect substitute lamb to deliver them from God's judgment for their sin. And that day came, my friends. That day came when our Lord Jesus Christ sat with his disciples to celebrate the Passover feast. What we read this morning in our text is Jesus sitting with the disciples on the day and at the night that the people of Israel, the Jewish, were celebrating the Passover feast. You see, the Passover lamb in Egypt was a remarkable type of Christ, a picture of Christ fulfilling the work of redemption for God's people by fulfilling all the types that involves in Exodus. And if you ask how, the first one is the lamb was innocent. God commanded the people of Israel, the lamb that you will take for a sacrifice, that its blood will be placed on the doorposts of your houses. It must be an innocent lamb. A lamb is a very innocent creature. You see, it does not wrong or injure anyone. It is a symbol of innocency. The Apostle John, you see, when he saw Jesus Christ coming from a distance, his declaration of Christ was, "Behold the Lamb of God." Isaiah agrees with the Apostle John when he said in Isaiah 53, "The suffering Lamb of God was harmless. He was silent. He didn't retaliate or respond to his enemies, to the people who were inflicting him with anger." And Hebrews 7:26 tells us this, "For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest." What kind of a high priest? There were many high priests in Israel. What kind of high priest? Holy? And then the writer of the Hebrews says, innocent, unstained and separated from sinners and exalted above the heavens. You see, it was fitting for the Lamb, for the final and new Lamb of God to be innocent. I reminded you what Isaiah said, he was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth like a lamb that is led to the slaughter. He was innocent. He was harmless. He fulfilled the type that we see in Exodus. And secondly, the lamb should be without a blemish. In verse 5, Exodus 12, God commanded them, "Your lamb shall be without blemish." Why without blemish? So that the lamb that they choose will be separated from the other animals, that the lamb will stay pure and clean, that the lamb will not affected by any parasite, by anything that would defile its purity. My friends, Christ was the only true sacrifice. He was taken from among men, and he was separated from sinners. He was born from the Virgin Mary, but he was sinless. He was without blemish. He was a sinless Lamb of God. He indeed fulfilled what we see in Exodus. He was without blemish. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious leaders in Israel, Pontius Pilate and other leaders in Israel tried everything they can do that Jesus would sin. But he kept himself pure so that he would be qualified for this mission, that he will be without blemish. You can trust Jesus. You can depend on Jesus for your righteousness. You can enter the kingdom of God, not through a blood of an animal, but the blood of the final and the true and the new Passover lamb, Jesus Christ, your Savior. The Apostle Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1, reminds us of this truth by saying this: knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your fathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold. Your redemption doesn't depend on your gold or your silver or whatever you possess in this life. Your redemption, your deliverance depends on this. And listen to this: but with the precious blood of Christ, like a lamb without blemish or spot. That's where your deliverance depends. That's where your justification depends. That's where your sanctification depends. That's where your glorification depends, the people of God. On Jesus Christ, who is without blemish. Not only that, but thirdly, the lamb that the Israelites had to take, none of its bones was broken. And that was a prophecy. That was what will happen with Jesus Christ on the cross. Exodus 12, 46, you shall not break any of its bones. John 19, 36, for these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. That's the one who is qualified to take that place on your behalf. That's the one who is worthy to take your place on Calvary. None of his bones were broken. You see, when you partake the Lord's Supper, sometimes you might hear ministers saying, this is the body of Jesus Christ that was broken for you. That is not a proper thing to say. His body was given, the people of God. It was not broken. It was given to the people of God, and we'll consider that after a while. But none of his bones were broken. You see, Jesus Christ, the new and the final Passover lamb, he fulfilled all the types that we see in Exodus. And consider with me, you see, the first Passover lamb was slaughtered in Egypt. And then the Israelites were commanded to eat the Passover lamb in the wilderness. And God told them that I will choose a place where you will eat the Passover lamb. And the final place where they ate the Passover lamb was Jerusalem, where Jesus Christ was crucified. So every event that accompanied our Lord Jesus Christ in his ministry shows us that he was the one. He was the only final and new Passover lamb for us, the people of God. And secondly, we look into the new and final Passover lamb. In our text, we see our Lord Jesus Christ sitting with his disciples. And he was about to institute the Lord's Supper for the disciples. And notice how he begins his time with his disciples. In verse 14, our text says, When the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. The first words that Christ said to his disciples, or what our text tells us first is, when the hour came. What is this hour? That night that he will eat the Passover lamb with his disciples. The hour that the people of Israel were celebrating the Passover feast. That hour came. And the hour that he will go to the cross to die for the sins of his people. That hour came. And Jesus said to his disciples, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. You see, I think the helpful translation of that verse, or what Jesus actually said to his disciples, goes this way. With a desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. With a desire, I have desired. He was looking forward to the time that he will eat the Passover lamb with the disciples, but he's not only talking about his time, his fellowship with the disciples. You need to notice that he's talking about something else here. He's talking about the time that he will end the old covenant and inaugurate the new covenant for the people of God. That he will bring something to an end and then begin a new institution for the people of God. That's what Jesus is talking about. And Jesus told his disciples, this will be the last time, or this is the final Passover that I will eat with him until my kingdom comes. The book of Revelation tells us that when Christ comes in glory and takes us home with him, we will sit around the table with him in the marriage of the Lamb. That time is coming. Everything will be new, and we will sit with our Savior around the table and enjoy the blessings of heaven together with him. It will be much, much better and greater than what we are considering this morning. It will be heaven with the presence of our Savior and around the presence of our Heavenly Father. But for now, Jesus said, this is what I'm doing with you. And let me read verses 19 and 20, because that's where my focus will be. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup, after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. When he did this, he was ending one covenant and he was beginning another covenant. This is the end of the old covenant, my brothers and sisters. What do I mean by that? This is the end of all sacrifices in Israel. The writer of the Hebrews said, Christ died once for all. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 5:7 said, for Christ, a Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. So when Jesus was administering, or when Jesus was ordaining the institution of the Lord's Supper, he was ending all sacrifices in Israel. If you go to places like Eritrea today, there are people who still sacrifice animals for the forgiveness of their sins. No wonder there are other people in other parts of the world. But Jesus is saying, this is the end. No need for sacrifice. I am the final sacrifice. I am the new sacrifice on whom my people can depend for their salvation. This is the end of all ceremonial law. This is the end of all social things that has separated the Jewish people and the Gentiles. He's bringing both peoples together by his blood, by his sacrifice. He's ending that separation. This is the end of the Sabbath. After this, Jesus will go to the cross, he will die, he will raise from the dead, and his church will start to gather on the first day of the week, the Lord's Day. No Sabbath law. Christ ended it by his blood, by his sacrifice. This is the end of priesthood, brothers and sisters in Christ. This is the end of priesthood. When Jesus died on the cross, the curtain of the temple was torn into two from top to bottom. And that was the sign that signified that Christ, by his death, opened the way to God. We have an open way through Christ to the throne of grace. The writer of the Hebrews in Hebrews 10 tells us, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. And now listen to this. By the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. That's what he did. He opened a way for you to enter to the presence of God. Today, you don't need a priest to approach the presence of God in prayer. You don't need me. You don't need Pastor Peter. You don't need any of our elders for you to approach the throne of grace in prayer and talk to your Heavenly Father. It's gone. Christ has ended it to open a new way for us through his blood, through his flesh. That should be a good news for you, my friends. Christ is the way to the Father. But we also need to know, how did he end all these things? By ordaining, by the institution of the Lord's Supper. Christ, announcing the institution of the Lord's Supper to the disciples, he was going from the old covenant, the old Passover feast, to the new Passover feast, which is the Lord's Supper, the communion of saints with the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lord's Supper. In verse 19, our text tells us he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body." The one thing that I want to point out to all of you is, our Lord Jesus Christ was instituting the Lord's Supper at the night that the Jewish people were celebrating the Passover feast. So he used the unleavened bread that they use for the Passover feast. There was nothing mystical about this bread, my friends. He used the common bread that they were using for the Passover feast. But there is one significance that we need to remember. You see, the unleavened bread was unleavened bread because when they ate it in Egypt, they ate it in haste. They had no time. There was no time for the bread to rise. It was unleavened bread. But not only that, it was a reminder for them about their misery, their affliction in Egypt. When Christ administered the supper to his disciples, he was telling them, now, this sign of my bread, the bread that represents my body, it will not remind you of your misery, your sin, your affliction. It will remind you your victory in Jesus Christ on the cross. Now it becomes a banquet for you, a feast, a celebration for you because of my blood. He took the bread and gave thanks to God the Father, broke it, and he gave it to his disciples. He was holding the bread on his hand. The whole idea of when the priest administered the supper, the bread and the wine turns or changes into the blood and the body of Jesus Christ is bizarre. It's not biblical. You see, Jesus Christ was present himself physically with the disciples. He was holding the bread on his hand. The bread that Christ doesn't change into bread for his people in the Lord's Supper. Christ already has given his body as the bread of life on the cross. He was not sacrificing his own body when he was administering the Lord's Supper. And for the Jewish people, even his disciples, eating blood was unacceptable. From their time of infancy, that's what they have been taught. He was not telling them to eat his body. Let me tell you what this is. What this not mean. This is not his actual body, my friends. The Roman Catholic Church teaches that this is his actual body and blood. This is not his actual body. The bread represents his body. It's a sign and the seal of the new covenant. It's not his spiritual body. The reformers were divided on this issue. It was not his spiritual body, invisible spiritual body. Christ is present with us when we partake the Lord's Supper spiritually. But his physical body is in heaven around the throne of God. So it's not his spiritual body. The bread does not change into the body of Christ for us in the Lord's Supper. What it means is this. The bread is a visible sign and representation of Christ's body. When we eat this bread, we remember his body. And we remember how his body has been suffered for us. It seals the benefits of Christ's work of salvation in the life of believers. That's why Jesus took the bread and he told his disciples, "This is my body." And Jesus said, "Do this in my remembrance." Let me bring your attention to this command for a moment. Do this in my remembrance. Many people think this command was given to the apostles and then later on to the ministers of the gospel in the Church of Jesus Christ. This command was given to all believers to come to the table and eat the supper in his remembrance. When a person stays away from the table of the Lord's Supper with a notion of saying to himself, "I haven't done enough. I am not worthy to come to the table. I don't want to break the command of God." That person is actually breaking the commandment of Christ. Christ commanded you to come. What's the solution for you? Repent. Repentance is the solution for you. Repent of your sin. If you repent your sin in the name of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sin, your sin is yours in Christ Jesus. You don't have to do good works. You don't have to excel yourself above others in order for you to approach the table. This table is about what God has done for you. It's not about what you can do for God, my friend. This is the preaching of the gospel. Repent and believe in Jesus Christ. It's always accompanied with the preaching of the Word of God so that you will be convinced of your sin and come to the table in repentance and joyfully as a child of God. Do not stay away from the table because you think you are not good enough. No one is good apart from God and His grace. Repent and come. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not a words of encouragement. It's a command from the head of the church, from the one who is worthy to bring you to the table, Jesus Christ, your Savior. And finally, Jesus took the cup. When the Bible says took the cup, it means the wine in the cup. It's not about the cup. The wine in the cup. He took the cup, blessed it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, this is the blood of the new covenant that was shed for the remission of many. Now notice the words of Jesus Christ. He's using two words. This is the blood of the new covenant. So there is blood, there is new covenant. That's what he's doing now. He's inaugurating the new covenant. Why is he doing that? What is the significance of the old covenant? Why is Jesus replacing the old covenant by the new covenant, by the Lord's Supper now? This visible sign and seal of the new covenant. Why? The reason is this, my friends. The old covenant was conditional. God told the people of Israel, I will bless you. I will shower my blessings on you, provided that you obey my law. And the people of Israel, even though at one time they said, yes, we'll obey, but they failed. That's what Paul tells us in Galatians 2. No one can satisfy God by his own righteousness. Then Christ comes and fulfilled the law for us. He became our righteousness. That's the new covenant that Jesus is talking about. Ezekiel tells us that God entered with his people with a new covenant by giving them new heart. Ezekiel tells us God did that by sprinkling new and living water on them, the blood of his son Jesus Christ. That's the new covenant by which you have come to your heavenly Father. You see, when Jesus said, this is the blood of the new covenant, he was reminding them that now I am the way. Now I am your hope. Now I am the one who would take you to the presence of my Father. You are righteous because of me. You are righteous because of my blood. The blood of the new covenant. Let me conclude today's message with these words from John Calvin. And this is very instructive for us as God's people, especially as we anticipate to partake the Lord's Supper together. Sacraments are an aid to our faith, related to the preaching of the gospel, outward sign by which the Lord seals on our conscience the promises of his goodwill towards us, in order to sustain the weakness of our faith. And we, in turn, attest our piety towards him in the presence of the Lord and of his angels and before men. Notice three things from the great reformer. Sacrament related to the preaching of the word. The word of God is indispensable to the right administration of the Lord's Supper. Its primary direction is God to us, not us to God. It's as an outward sign and seal that assures us that God's promises are reliable for us. You can rely on God's promises. Would you apply these things in your life this morning by answering these three questions? Have you been set free from Egypt? Have you been set free from your sin? You might say, yes, I'm a believer. I have been set free from sin. I have been forgiven. Praise the Lord. Yes, we have been forgiven in Jesus Christ. But I have a follow-up question. Are you still enslaved in sin? Are you still a slave of sin? You don't need to be terrified, but you need to open your heart to Christ and confess your sin. Because Jesus said, anyone who believes in me, he will not be enslaved in sin. Through the power of my Spirit, I will enable him to be victorious over sin. Come to Jesus. Here is the assurance. If you come to Jesus, you will be free from sin. You might not be perfect, but you will fight sin in the name of Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you feeding on Christ, your final and new Passover lamb? By hearing his word, meditating on his word, by depending on his spirit, and through prayer, are you feeding on Jesus Christ, your true, final, and new Passover lamb? Let's pray. Our Father and our God, how grateful we are to you for the provision of your word. Your word is indeed living, infallible, and life-giving. Your word also, through the power of your Holy Spirit, convicts our heart of our sin. So this morning we pray to you, our God, to give us, to grant us your Holy Spirit, to confess our sins before you with a humble heart, with integrity, that we, each and every one of us, that we come to you confessing all our sins. Help us to look to Jesus Christ, our new, final Passover lamb. Help us to depend on him in every day of our walk in the Christian life. And bless the preaching of your word in our hearts. And cause every word that we have taken this morning to help us to fight sin. Not to be enslaved by sin, but to love the righteousness of your Son, Jesus Christ, and lead a godly life before this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.